Welcome back to KPFK 90.7 in Los Angeles, 98.7 in Santa Barbara. My name is Damon Azali, and we are talking in this segment. We're going to be talking about the struggle of organized black telephone workers at Verizon in New Jersey. In a period of a relative lull in the organizing of black workers in the private sector and the low level of progressive alternative militant union movements nationwide, the story of the black telephone workers for justice in New Jersey is a shining example of the building of an alternative and progressive union activist movement. The Black Telephone Workers for Justice has led a struggle around the recognition of Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday as a national holiday at Verizon, where the Black Telephone Workers for Justice has not only had to battle with the Verizon management, but also with the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, IBEW, and the Communication Workers of America, CWA, who represent the vast majority of telephone workers and clerks. Out of this organizing, Black Telephone Workers for Justice is now moving to directly challenge the IBEW leadership by running a black telephone worker to be elected to the IBEW Executive Board, along with another slate of candidates. Today, we have with us Ron Washington, the president of the Black Telephone Workers for Justice. Welcome, Ron.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I tell you what, I'm certainly glad to have the opportunity to share some of the experience we have here on the East Coast with all of our brothers and sisters on the West Coast.
That's great.
And, you know, this is the great value of progressive radio.
Right.
You know, this is really, really great to be able to do this.
Okay, Ron. Well, why don't you give us a sense of the organizing that has led Black Telephone Workers for Justice to running a slate of candidates for the local executive board?
Yeah, well, you know, we've been, very, very active for the last three or four years. We essentially were formed after the Verizon strike of 2000 for a couple of reasons. One, Dr. King's birthday was put on the table as a paid holiday for Verizon. And, of course, the company rejected, and we didn't feel that the union leadership, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, you know, fought hard enough for it. In addition to that, the strike was run so ineptly at the time that we had a number of not only all the workers in general, but a number of the black workers in particular fighting each other about whether or not to cross the picket line and so on. You know, the same guys that, you know, on Thursday night we were at their house playing cards, on Friday morning we were fighting each other about going back across the line. So it was out of that sharp struggle around the contract, the strike in 2000, that we came up with the idea that black telephone workers should form a caucus within the union to do a couple of things. One, to get more black workers more actively involved in the life of the union, and two, to get black workers more involved in the various issues that go on in our community. We've always felt that it's very, very important that black workers walk on two legs, you know, active on the job and active off the job. We stole some thunder, you know, from David Letterman. And after the strike, after we summed the strike up in a newsletter, we put out a thing called the Top 10 Reasons Why Black Workers Should Build Their Own Independent Organization. And, you know, we called for the necessity for black workers to get more actively involved in the union in an organized way. In an organized way, we could more effectively fight Verizon for Dr. King's birthday. In a more organized way, we could play a greater role in our community. And in fact, in a more organized way, we'd be better able to build unity, you know, with the rest of the workers in Verizon. And so what happened, you know, we got a good response from a lot of the black workers, and this was in September. We initially had, you know, we started off like most organizations. I mean, people met at my house. The first meeting we had maybe six people. The next week we had 15. The next week we had 30. And so within a short period of time, by November, we were having like 50, 60 people in my house, which obviously could not go on.
You got a big house, huh?
Yeah, you know. So we moved it to a local bar that we frequented and had our meetings there. And by December, we formally, you know, put together a mission statement, a structure, and formally declared the existence of the Black Telephone Workers for Justice. I think that people should understand, I mean, like, you know, some of the context here, and you mentioned it, and that is that for the vast majority of telephone workers, particularly here on the East Coast and up and down the seaboard, are mainly CWA. But for some particular historical reasons, the majority of telephone workers here in New Jersey belong to the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. And that, you know, clearly shapes, I mean, like, the reason why we came into existence and shapes some of the fight that we're having, because the IBEW historically, you know, it's primarily an electrical workers union. Historically, it's been one of the more backward, craft-oriented, conservative unions in the country.
Right.
And it's within that context that we find ourselves, you know, struggling, because that influence obviously seeps over into our local telephone unit, such that with the vast majority of workers in New Jersey, the technicians, which I am, I'm a facilities technician, you know, your basic local friendly neighborhood telephone man. The vast majority of technicians historically were, you know, primarily white, craft-oriented, such that the local also has a bias toward a lot of the you know, the clerical workers in the state, who are primarily women. You know, so the life of the union, you know, is dominated by a whole white male craft orientation historically. So what we've tried to do, you know, is number one, organize, you know, black telephone workers to take a more active role. And I mean, at this point, we pretty much consider ourselves, I mean, like the progressive voice and conscience of our local. Because we have been raising, you know, some, you know, what I would consider to be some very, very progressive positions in our local. We early on, of course, you know, raised the demand for the union to support, you know, the demand for Dr. King's birthday state holiday.
Right.
Of course, you know, it took us, you know, 6 months, a year to get that resolution passed. We also, at the same time, when the dock workers were on strike, had their struggle, the Charleston Five. A group of dock workers that were arrested, you know, for what the state, you know, called a riot, you know, when they were defending their picket line against the police in South Carolina. Well, we mobilized, you know, people in our area, and we almost forced our union. We got a resolution passed to give $1,000 to the dock workers, you know, to their fund. In addition, you know, we pretty much were catalytic, you know, in the fight against the layoffs in our area. You know, it was our organization that made a demand for a local and statewide demonstrations against the layoffs that took place, you know, this past June. And in addition to that, we were proud to say that we were able to force our local unit here in Essex County, you know, in Newark area, to pass a resolution opposing the war against Iraq. You know, so even though people initially tried to pigeonhole us as a unit, as a formation that would only take up black issues, so to speak, I mean, our view has always been much, much broader, you know. And we've, of course, been, you know, advocates and defenders of the interests of black workers. But at the same time, we know we're part of the entire working class. We want to take up issues that also affect the entire working class.
Right, Ron. I mean, one of the things that just to add is, like, both Tam, my co-host, and myself are organizers on the buses of Los Angeles. We're part of the Bus Riders Union. And we are always talking about how do we move from bus consciousness to class consciousness. So looking
right.
From how you can take someone out of just, you know, of course people are going to fight if something's directly affecting them. So say there's a late bus doesn't show up, bus breaks down, you have 45 people standing on the bus. People
right.
are fired up for that. But what we're trying to do is, much like it sounds what you're doing, is trying to take that and see how we can get black folks to fight to stop the war against Iraq.
Right.
And that's also another resolution that I think that you guys pushed through the executive board. So I just wanted to see if you can maybe talk about the steps that you can actually move people who are more, you know, when you're first starting out, the kind of union consciousness of the bread and butter, you know, benefits, whatnot, to move to some of these broader things that are actually, you know, in solidarity with other struggles.
Right. You know, there's always been tension within our formation, within the efforts that we've made. We've always had particular groups of black workers come in at particular points and said and say that we shouldn't be dealing with all these other issues, you know, like the war, police brutality, and so on, that we should really stick to the issues that are concerning us immediately as, you know, as telephone workers. We resisted that from the very, very beginning, you know, because we know that because it's important to promote, you know, broader class consciousness, that can only be done by, you know, us seeing our issues as connected to other workers and other people struggling around the world. That's why it's important for us to really take up the campaign, you know, to support the dock workers, you know, and use that as an educational weapon to see the commonality of our interests as workers, not only black workers, but workers in general, because part of the dock workers campaign brought forward the solidarity that was demonstrated by longshoremen all over the world. You know, the dock workers in Spain threatened to shut the ports down. So by constantly trying to bring forward those links, because we would also have, you know, we had a series of, we call them monthly black worker forums, that we would have. We would address certain issues, get speakers to come in. We have black workers forums. We've also run, some kind of educational sessions where we get in and we talk about, you know, the system of oppression, go through some things. We've been pretty adamant, you know, and struggling to give, you know, workers other, you know, things to read to try to raise the, you know, the broader political understanding of what's going on around us.
Ron, we have about 20 seconds left. Can you give us a website that people get more information about you?
Well, we don't have a website that's up and running yet. We just have our, you know, people want to contact me.
Okay.
We can be contacted at Blacktel, BLACKTEL, 4, that's number 4, Justice. Blacktel 4 Justice at AOL.
Okay, thank you so much, Ron Washington from the Black Telephone Workers for Justice. No problem. We love to have you on.
So you're listening to Pacifica Radio 90.7 FM, KPFK Los Angeles, and 98.7 FM Santa Barbara. That's our show for today. This is Tammy Bang Liu with my co-host Damon Azali. We'd like to thank our guests Ron Daniels, Graham Boyd, Ron Washington, and to our engineer Maggie LaPique and our producer Alan Minsky. Tune in to us next week where we'll have Babu Ayuko, who's going to be talking about the annual Pan-African Film Festival happening February 5th through 16th. Right now, stay tuned for a KPFK's news updates, followed by Beneath the Surface with Susie Wiseman, featuring Paco Tabo and Tariq Ali in a discussion about U.S. foreign policy. That's coming next. Don't go away.